Hello and welcome to episode 124 of Ready to Mosh. I'm Kev P and alongside me is the rough to my trade, it's Gem G.
You calling me rough?
No, just doing an appropriate link.
Well, if you think that's appropriate.
It ties in.
Well, yeah, I'll give you that.
not you being rough.
Oh, well, it is a lazy Sunday afternoon, not looking my finest.
It is a lazy Sunday afternoon, but you always look fine.
Oh, you.
Anyway, it's a midweek special episode, and it's a review of the Lake Malice gig we went to on Saturday.
You went on Saturday?
Did we? Friday. It was Friday. Yeah, it was Friday.
It was 2 days ago.
2 days ago. My brain's not with it.
Not long 2 days.
Yeah. Yeah, we went to see them at Rough Trade Records in Nottingham, and it's the first time we've actually been to that venue.
Yeah, as a venue.
As a venue, yeah.
We've been to the shop.
Yeah, been to the shop before, but never been upstairs.
No, I couldn't even compute beforehand where kind of the gig area was, if you know what I mean. It's weird because I've seen pictures and I knew it was a pointy ceiling, so I thought, well, it must be upstairs.
Yeah, and I quite like the venue, to be honest. Some of the views aren't necessarily the best depending on where you stood.
Yeah, that's the downside. It is very tiny.
Hmm.
Which I guess we learnt as the evening went along, how to position ourselves.
Yeah, where to position.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know why we've not been before. I think it's probably because it tends to be more acoustic and sign-in shows that they have there. I know they do have some full shows as well, but it's mainly the acoustic stuff.
Yeah, it does. The other thing with it is that when they do a lot of the sets, I've noticed they've been in the middle of like a Wednesday afternoon or...
Or they've been like doors at five and stuff, which... been like difficult to
it's
get
been to. Impossible to get to.
Yeah, so I think they tend to be evening, but early evening, which I know we normally like, but not that early because we can't always get there.
But this one was actually a decent opening time, wasn't it?
Yeah, doors at seven. I think the other thing as well with it being kind of with acoustic gigs, I'm kind of a bit funny about those these days because I think we were just scarred from the Wednesday 13 experience, and I just worry that you're going to go to an acoustic gig and people are just going to be talking through it.
Yeah.
But having now been to the venue and knowing how small it is, I feel like it's that small that people aren't going to do that because it's quite obvious who it is and people are just going to tell you to shut up. So I think maybe next time, if there is one with a suitable time we can get to that is a band that we like and we want to get stuff signed and all of that,
yeah,
might be worth doing.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to have gone to the Wicked Rivers one.
Yeah. There's been a few. South of Salem did
one. South of Salem did one as well, didn't they?
I think Massive Wagons have done one. Those Damn Crows. I was talking to someone yesterday who went to that one. And Frank Carter did one for the new album.
Yes. So there's been several. Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, the venue is small, but it's actually quite well proportioned, I think, kind of how it's laid out. Because you've got a bit of a, well, we had a bit of a wait on the stairs, didn't we, to get into the venue while they were scanning tickets, and I think there was an issue with the scanner.
Yeah, but I did like the fact they kind of let us through the front door and queue on the stairs.
Yeah.
It was a little bit. Was it starting to rain then? Or
Not at that point, no.
But yeah, we got in out of the cold at least.
Yeah.
Which was good. There was quite a big queue actually when we got there. I was surprised.
Yeah, I was. It was, I think there were about 12, 13 people in front of us, and we were there early.
Yeah, a bit earlier than we actually thought in the end.
Yeah.
Maybe about 10 to 7, I think we rocked up.
Just going to say, I'm 46. It's been a long time since I've rocked up anywhere.
We waddled up, is that better?
Well,
ambled up.
Hobbled, I think, is closer
limped
to it.
Up.
Yeah, hobbled.
We turned up.
Yeah, once we got inside, the layout was pretty good. So to the left was, you almost kind of did a U-turn, didn't you?
Yeah.
And that's where the merch was. And I was extremely good because I wanted the new Lake Malice t-shirt.
Well, the tour t-shirt.
The tour t-shirt, yeah.
There were other new t-shirts, but not...
Not the one I wanted, yeah. And all of the size that I wanted had sold out. So I'm behind again on merch.
Oh, I did get a tour dates t-shirt because they had some mediums left. There was also a very nice long sleeve t-shirt that I was restrained enough to not buy as well.
Mm.
And I was going to get a t-shirt. Not a t-shirt. I did get a t-shirt. A poster, but it's the whole, like, what do you do with it during the gig? And then I kind of forgot on the way out.
Oh, right, okay. But
never mind. I'm sure they'll be putting leftovers online anyway, because I think it was only that one shirt in your size that sold out, wasn't it?
So yeah, it was.
I'm sure that they'll be selling those on.
Yeah, and we had a little discussion about that later on, but we'll get to that at that point.
Yeah. And the bar seemed a decent size.
The bar was a good size, actually. Mm. Very surprised. And they have a wide range of drinks on.
That was the other thing, actually. You know, because you think of Rough Trade as a record store, I wasn't even sure whether there would be a bar.
I knew there was a bar because I'd seen it in the pictures.
Yeah. I did once. I had a look. But beforehand, I was like, is it just like in the back of the record?
Yeah.
Yeah. Have they got a license?
Yeah. I wasn't 100% sure before I looked into it. But once I'd seen the pictures before we, you know, obviously before we went, I realised that there was a bar somewhere within there. And yeah, they stocked a lot of different drinks. And it wasn't shit drinks either.
No, it seemed quite a good choice. It got a list of cocktails as well. I was a little bit miffed to be driving.
I ended up drinking some Devon cider that I'd never heard of. It was really nice.
I had a Diet Coke out of a glass bottle.
You did have a Diet Coke, yeah.
Go me on a Friday night.
And yeah, so decent choice of drinks, merch set up in a position that's pretty good. They'd also got some kind of cool casing, hadn't they, for tables.
Yeah, like band equipment case.
Band equipment case.
Or, you know, the
big metal
case things that they use.
Yeah, they got two or three of those at least.
I think
sort of set out as
like four round in a square, and then little stools that you could perch on, and then down one edge there was proper tables with tall stools. Is that the right word? Yeah, tall stools on.
It just doesn't sound right, does it?
Yeah. No. So yeah, we like a bit of seating.
Mm. And it was pretty well laid out. And then a little bit further on from kind of like the bar area is where the venue has the gig, the actual stage and
the performance area.
Yes, if you will. And the stage looked pretty small.
Mm.
And, you know, I've seen kind of bigger stages elsewhere, but it's positioned at quite a decent height.
Yeah, I think it's just right for the room, really.
Yeah. And the audio was actually spot on.
I thought it was really good. Yeah. I was impressed.
Yeah, very surprised by how good the audio was in there. But like you said, if they do acoustic shows, then I imagine they've got to get it right.
That's true, yeah, because there's less room for error, isn't there, with an acoustic show. So, yeah, really good sound.
Yeah, and then the sound decks in there as well.
Yeah, at the back.
At the back. Kind of at the back and in one of the corners. And it's a weird sort of space because you've got kind of like a huge sort of supporting beam in the middle.
Yeah, it's like almost an archway, isn't it?
Yeah, kind of creating two archways.
The side and the back is hard to explain unless you've been.
Yeah. Imagine like imagine like a block of cheese that's, you know, like the cartoon cheese that's got
with Swiss cheese,
yeah.
Like that.
It's a bit like that.
Or the little bridges that you get in a fish tank.
Yeah. But it's effectively kind of like a square room.
Yeah.
But with, a couple of arches in there. And for the first two bands, we were stood to the left outside the arches.
Yeah, and I think for both, we managed to kind of get a little bit nearer in as the set went on because people moved out and there's that natural movement.
Yeah.
But I think as well, when first band were on, we just kind of stood there and we could actually see all right.
Yeah.
When the second band came on, we couldn't really see because of the size of the people who were in front of us. So we tried to get around the back, which didn't work. So we ended up back around the side. So at that point, I was like, well, obviously we need to make sure we get a good space in advance of Late Mallies and not go and have a little sit down.
Yeah.
So first band up then were Leviah from Lincoln.
Uh-huh. Four piece. And they had a mix of styles through the night, I thought. And they had seven tracks in total.
Yeah, it was about a half hour set, wasn't it?
Yeah. And they packed a lot into it. And they kind of had a punk sound at the very start. Mm. That's kind of how it felt. And one of the interesting things about the night as well, three bands, all female led.
I did spot that, yeah.
Yeah. I can't remember that being at a gig where that's ever happened.
No, I can't actually. Not in recent years, at least.
Yeah. I just found it really interesting. And I thought the lead singer had some incredible vocals, really good range.
Yeah, I thought that too. I thought her voice was awesome.
Stort sounded a bit like Brody from the Distillers.
Yeah.
And some very good kind of bass-driven sound to it as well for me. And, yeah, there were sort of some stuff where they kind of used kind of almost the use of guitar feedback to kind of drive some of the other tracks. If you know what,
yeah,
you know
what
I mean, don't
you? Yeah.
And they kind of got to a halfway point and the sound became a lot heavier, harder, faster. And I think the track was called Save Yourself, Kids, but I did really like it.
Yeah, I enjoyed them from the start because it's kind of like you said, kind of punky, a bit grungy, a bit indie.
Yeah.
But kind of when they got heavier, I enjoyed it more.
Mm. I enjoyed the mix of styles as well.
Yeah, it was good to have that kind of the difference in sound, especially when it's a band that you're not overly familiar with.
Yes. Yeah. It's nice to hear a different range, isn't it? Mm. Sort of different styles that they can do. But yeah, 7 tracks, and I liked them all. Yeah. I thought they were all really good.
Yeah, I enjoyed all of them as well. Yeah, like you say, it was a good mix. Really, yeah, just a really great performance, a really good opener, really good choice.
Mm.
And yeah, definitely be looking out for them again. I know that they are playing at the Old Salutation in Nottingham on the 5th of April, I think,
yes,
Friday.
It is the 5th.
Which unfortunately we can't get to, but highly recommend if you're around and you can go, do it. We'll be keeping an eye out for future dates.
Then it was about a 30-minute turnaround.
Yeah, so we just mingled around the seating area.
We did.
For a while.
And we actually got a chance to catch up with Blake from Lake Malice.
We did, which was lovely.
Yeah. I think last time we spoke to him was Download.
Yes. I've not actually said, actually, this is the fourth time we saw Lake
Malice. It is, yeah.
Bit of background. Yeah, we are.
A bit of background about the gig. It's the fourth time we've seen them. We've interviewed their previous guests on the podcast.
Yeah. They were our second ever guests. We were their second ever podcast.
Yeah. So we've championed them from the start because we are really big fans of the stuff that they've been putting out. That kind of came from the first time watching them support Death Blooms in Rock City Beta.
Yeah, which I think was their third show.
Yeah. So yeah, we've definitely been on the started at ground floor with these guys.
Definitely, yeah. And then we saw them, they played the Courtyard in RIP at Download in 2022.
Yeah.
And had a chat with them there, which is how they ended up on the podcast.
Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, we obviously watched them in the Avalanche last year and spoke to them at the festival in the guest area.
Yeah, which randomly bumped in. I think they were just leaving the guest area. We were just going in. And it's like, oh, there they are.
Yeah.
Which was after their set, wasn't it, I think?
Yeah. And yeah, so we had a chat with Blake. He's kind of telling us some of the stuff about the tour and, you know, how much they've enjoyed it. And we both spoke about how good the support bands had been, or the first one who we'd seen that night. And yeah, we were talking about the t-shirts and the everything else that they've kind of got going on.
Yeah, they've got a lot going on, and they're still obviously juggling full-time jobs and trying to do the tour and all of that.
So we had a chat with them, and then I think I grabbed a drink or whatever, and it was time for the second band.
Yeah, which, like, as we've already mentioned, we didn't have the greatest position to watch them in to start with.
No. And the second band were High Regard.
Yeah, who I wasn't really familiar with at all before the gig.
Yeah, same here. And a very different sound to the first band and to Lake Malice.
Yeah, I know their Instagram handle's High Regard Pop, which I think is quite reflective. They were quite poppy in the sound at times.
It was kind of like an indie pop
sort
of sound. Yeah,
what I was going to say, yeah. Although, similar to the Fire, actually, they did get heavier towards the end of the set.
Yes. Yeah, they did. And these were a three-piece. And yeah, the vocals, it was kind of like almost like a pained vocal, but in a good way.
Yeah, again, I thought she had a really good, strong voice.
Yeah, a really melodic sound. And it got really busy at this point as well. There was a lot of people there to watch these.
Yeah, I feel like they did have their own little fan base in there, especially the last couple of tracks. There was a lot of people singing along.
Yeah, and very kind of ethereal sort of vocals. And musically, they were very sort of balanced.
Mm, yeah.
As in the first band, there was a lot of bass-driven stuff in tracks, or there was a lot of guitar-driven stuff in tracks. These, it just seemed a balanced mix of everything.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
And yeah, so there was no kind of defined sound around the bass or guitar. And it seemed to kind of focus more around the vocals. They had similar sort of time.
Yeah, about half an hour again, I think.
Yeah, so around there. They played 9 tracks. And yeah, definitely worth watching live. Like you said, it seems they've got quite a bit of a core sort of fan base already.
Yeah, there seemed to be a lot of people in there, like I said, singing along towards the end in particular.
Yeah, and then we had another interval while they switched equipment over.
Yeah.
So another kind of 30-minute break or so.
Yeah, quick refreshment break. And then we got into a good position for Lake Malice. We'd kind of eyed up a corner space.
Yeah.
Where we could kind of tuck out of the way with no one behind us to bother if I was filming bits.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah,
it was a decent spot. Yeah,
I think we've found our spot for that venue.
Yeah, I fully agree with
you. In the absence of a balcony, a corner will do. Having said that, there were still tall people in front of us, but you know.
Yeah, it does seem weird that you still, that even I get to venues, and I'm around 6'2", and there are times when I still struggle to see.
Yeah, I mean, there were people right close to the front who were your height or above, and I'm like, stand at the back. In a small venue, there should be a height thing.
Yeah, kind of like just tearing it down at an angle.
Yeah, height etiquette kind of thing.
Yeah. And one thing that does annoy me, a couple of people who were stuck in front of us, like even when Lake Malice were playing, they're still talking to each other.
Yeah, that was doing my head in because like I could see, and then they kept bobbing down to talk to each other and blocking my view the whole time.
Yeah.
Stop it.
If you're there to watch a band, just listen to the music. Don't just have a conversation.
Yeah, or move to the side.
Or just fuck off out of the way, yeah. Yeah, a lot of people have no gig etiquette.
Yeah, but anyway.
Anyway.
Read the Gets Your Gig Goat episode if you want to hear more of ranting.
Yeah, I'll try not to rant anymore.
But at least there wasn't a fart.
Yes, there wasn't a fart all night, which I was very pleased about.
After our room. Where was it? It was the Greg Fusciato.
It was Greg Fusciato where I was nearly sick in my mouth because somebody had released the most rancid gas. I said I wasn't going to start ranting and you made me start ranting again.
Well, no, because on the way home we did comment that at least there wasn't a rancid fart. So just, you know, bonus points to people. There was some etiquette involved.
Yeah.
Just not full. We can't have everything.
And one of the other things, kind of where we were, because we were in that corner, the heat, it was very hot.
Yeah, I'd already taken my hoodie off beforehand, but I did have two T-shirts on.
Yeah.
Because I wore the one that I bought under the one that I was wearing to start with.
Yeah.
To save carrying. But I suppose in a closed venue with that many people squashed in, especially when the headliner's on and people are jumping around, well, there's going to be more heat.
Yeah. And it did get warm.
Yeah.
It got very warm. But it was worth it. It was worth battling through. The set as well flew by.
Mm.
It didn't feel like they were on that long. But
I think it was about 45 minutes.
I think it was about 45 minutes, yeah.
Yeah. So I think they did 11 tracks.
Yeah.
So everything that's on the EP that's been released and some new tracks as well.
Yeah, I think they played at least a couple of unreleased tracks so far.
Yeah, and what I'd class as kind of the classics, Creepers and Blossom, which are the first tracks I ever heard that were on Spotify the first time we saw them.
Yeah. They started with Black Turbine, which is one of my favourites.
Yeah, love that one.
Yeah, absolute cracker. Moved into Bloodbath, and then one of the tracks that had not been played.
Yeah, a new one.
It's not actually got a title, but it's titled as Scatticum.
Yeah, on the set list, it's scribbled as that. So yeah. I'm assuming that's probably not going to be the official title.
No, probably not. I feel like it should be, though.
Yeah, I quite like that. Also, just to say, shout out to Alice, because she was battling a cold. Blake did say that she was having a rest, and we were chatting to him beforehand, and she said herself, you know, she's struggling with her voice. So
yeah, the throat was a bit scratchy. I mean, they were at the end of the tour, weren't
exactly,
they, as well?
Exactly, second to last night, so it's going to take its toll, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it still sounded amazing.
Yeah, so it still sounded very good. Played Creepers. Magic Square came up halfway through.
Yeah, that's another favourite.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing.
Can't remember at what point the first mosh pit was born. So in an enclosed space, that was a bit, you know.
Yeah, I didn't know how that was going to work, but people were going for it. But everybody kind of did do it properly. And
yeah, and I was quite pleased actually that the two lads who were in front of us were not partaking. So they kind of created a barrier for me.
Yeah.
Every time they started, they kind of purposefully stood back. Although at one point I did have to kick one of them because they were going to tread on me. But aside from that, it was made a useful walls.
I think it was probably around track 7 it started.
I thought it was earlier, actually.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I thought it might even have been Bloodbath that Alice demanded a pit to be formed.
I don't think early on. Was that early?
Was it not?
No.
I'll have a look because
I've got the footage.
Yeah. And we had a bob down and a jump up as well.
I didn't. I'm old. My knees are not capable anymore.
In such a small room, you do stand out.
If you stood in the back of the corner where it's dark.
True. I mean, I have to say I didn't jump up. I just stood back.
Stood up, yeah.
Yeah. Just in case. The floor was a bit uneven where we were stood, actually. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, they played new track that was released a couple of weeks ago, Eternal December.
Mm-hmm.
That one sounded awesome. And then we had another unreleased track, Nobody Wants to Be You.
Yeah. And then Mitsuko, which is an absolute belter.
Yeah, probably the heaviest one.
Yeah.
I think. And then Stop the Party was second to last. That's another favourite.
Mm-hmm.
I love all of them. I'm going to say this.
Yeah.
That's my favourite, apart from the ones I hadn't heard before.
Yeah. And then finish with Blossom.
Which is my favourite.
Which is a great track. Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think it was a decent sized crowd. And I think they got the venue size spot on.
Yeah, it's hard to judge, I guess, because now, because we've seen them so many times and in different settings, part of me feels like that they could fill a bigger venue. But then I talk to people and who've still never heard of them. And, considering they've like supported Shikari, they supported Shin, yeah. They've had some big support slots. So they're obviously building up that fan base. But as a headline tour, obviously, they've still got to be careful not to go for bigger venues. And like Blake said, when we chatted to him, they went for more locations with smaller venues rather than less locations and bigger venues,
yeah.
Which I think is a good way because then you're obviously getting a little fan base in different cities.
Well, yeah, you're getting support from people that either A, have seen you before and it's like, great, you're playing a show near me and they're going to bring people with them.
Yeah.
Or B, it's kind of like somebody, you're also going to attract people that maybe haven't seen you before. And it's a chance for them to watch you live, which yeah. I was talking to somebody and it was the first time he'd got to see Lake Malice because he'd only heard about them a couple of weeks ago or something.
Mm.
And he saw them, that they were touring in Nottingham and went, oh, great, I'll go to that.
Yeah.
And so I think it's a really good idea. I think it's the best way to do it is like smaller venues, but more of them.
Yeah.
It just makes more sense.
And the way they kind of did the Thursday, Friday, Saturday dates over three separate weekends, I think if you're not familiar with them and you're going to go to a spontaneous random gig, you're more likely to do that of a weekend night than earlier in the week, potentially.
Yeah, I'd be more inclined to see a band like on a Thursday, Friday, Saturday than any other night, just because I think it's actually not going to think about getting up. And it just makes life a bit easier. And it's kind of, it's the almost the weekend, isn't it? And
yeah,
it just feels right.
And I think when Alice said to the crowd, like, who's seen us before, I think it was pretty much a 50-50 mix.
I think it was, yeah.
I mean, the people, for example, I saw someone with a Bloody Wood t-shirt, so they supported them. Is it last year or the year before now? I can't remember. But
yeah,
there's probably people like that who've picked them up from support slots.
Yeah.
That come see them again, so.
It's another kind of crowd that they've gathered along the way, and I think they will kind of this year or next year when they do other tours, you'll probably see they're supporting more bigger bands as well.
Yeah, definitely. Maybe even moving up from being like opening to maybe being the second.
Yeah, and hopefully at some point there'll be another kind of headline tour.
Yeah, hopefully,
because we'll be going again.
Yes,
but yeah, I thought venue's decent, really enjoyed all three bands, and I think it was just a good night of live music, and the price was just so good.
Yeah, it was £13 plus booking fees. So I think like 14 something.
Yeah,
in total
for three bands, which you can't. I mean, one of them's Lake Malice, so you can't go wrong at that.
You'd pay 13 just for them.
Yeah,
the sports are just a bonus, isn't it?
Yeah. So yeah, really good night.
Yeah. So if you haven't yet listened to Lake Malice, what rock have you been sleeping under? But go and listen to them. Look out for any future tour dates that they may have, and go and see them live because they're awesome.
And listen to one of the very early episodes,
yeah,
where they were special guests.
I can't tell you what number it was. It was July 2022. I know that much.
It's probably going to be about episode 12.
Probably, yeah. Gosh.
A long time ago.
A long, long time ago.
But yeah, go check that out.
I'll share the link at some point as well, just if you want to catch up with it, yeah. So yeah, it was an awesome evening. I did share some videos on the night on our stories, which are on our gigs highlights on Instagram if you want to catch up with those. But I will share some more across kind of after this is released as well. So if you want to go and check those out, you can find us on Instagram, Twitter and Threads at Ready to Mosh Cast, Facebook, YouTube and TikTok at Ready to Mosh. If you're not already aware, we do now have a Patreon for the bargain price of £3 a month. So if you would like to support the podcast and get some behind the scenes stuff, any of those bloopers that we may or may not make, a heads up on what might be coming up in the following month, then go check that out. So we'd love it if you'd signed up for that. But another way that you can also support the podcast for free is if you can just give us a 5-star rating and a review on wherever you're listening. That would be very awesome. And we'll be back soon with another episode. Make it mosh moog.